Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And Darren Frehill is back with us for the latest.
Morning, Justin, did you see the rugby at the weekend?
Oh my goodness, what a mess.
Carnage, wasn't it? Absolute carnage.
Wasn't great, was it? But
did you understand any of the reasons for all the cards?
Well, do you know what? Let's ask our guest
standing by.
Bernard Jackman was also watching it on duty. What did you make of it all, Bernard?
Yeah, it was a difficult game to commentate on. It was very chaotic. I watched it back twice yesterday. And unfortunately, I can't understand the reasons for the cards. I actually think the referee was in a very difficult position. I think he overcompensated for what's happened in the last couple of weeks with red cards for the first incident with the Springbok number 10, Feinberg Mwamaguzulu. He should have been at least yellow carded, possibly red. So I suppose he was patient with that. And then with James Ryan, he probably could have been a straight red and he went for yellow and it became a 20-minute yellow. I think Tommy O'Brien could have easily got a yellow. So even though he's getting massive criticism, I actually think, in fairness to him, he just was unlucky to be in a position where...
And so, Bernard, we had four yellows and that 20-minute red, right?
But Darren, we were under massive pressure. Technically, he actually made a mistake. When the penalty try was given, he should have given another yellow card. And I think Tommy O'Brien, unfortunately, probably should have got a yellow as well. So we might have felt very hard done by in the moment, but unfortunately, our discipline was really poor as well. And a lot of it came from just being completely pinned at the scrum. I haven't seen a test match where one team has been as dominant in that area for a couple of years. And realistically, when you are as dominated as we were and you're giving away as many penalties, that we gave away 28 penalties, which is incredible. And I think 11 or 12 of those were from the scrum. And the South Africans, like, normally when you have an area of dominance like that, you don't tend to just focus on that completely. But they became obsessed by it and it became suffocating for us. And it was the right thing to do from them, but it was very hard for us to play any kind of rugby. Now, I do think Ireland showed incredible grit and character to stay competitive. And at the end, we fought back, etc. But I think probably part of the reason was that the Springboks weren't able to score as much as they would have liked. Was we were giving away so many penalties and the game just became very very chaotic and clustered and had no real flow.
Yeah, it wasn't a great watch or listen for that matter. Are you worried heading into the Six Nations, given what we saw at the weekend, but also just over the four games as a whole?
Yeah, look, it hasn't been brilliant, and there's reasons for that. Undercooked early in the tournament, in November, better against Australia. But that was a rude awakening. Now, I have to say, no other team in world rugby have the profile that South Africans have. But the reality is, unfortunately, we're playing them again next November in the New Nations Cup. We could easily run into them in a World Cup. So you can't run away from that. And we have to try and find improvements so that we're not totally overpowered up front like we were on Saturday. It very rarely happens to Ireland. Springboks are our teams. And potentially, unfortunately, France, we played the first game of the Six Nations in just over 8 weeks. They have similar profile and they don't have the same power off the bench as the Springboks. But it's an area with concern. Andy Farrell, John Fogarty, scrum coach, and all the provincial coaches as well, trying to understand, can we actually develop a better team unity? We're not going to develop monsters in 12 months like they have to come off the bench, but we certainly need to be better tactically and technically so it doesn't become such a weakness. And the reason I'm saying this is, having watched South Africa throughout this November, they haven't been doing that kind of a job on England or France or the other teams they've played or Italy. So it was an outlier in terms of the dominance they had, and that's concerning for us.
Bernard, great talking to you as always. Thanks for joining us here on the show. In athletics, Brian Fay and Fiona Everard claimed the men's and women's national cross-country titles in Derry yesterday. Now, big crowds despite terrible conditions. It really was a dreadful day up there with the wind and rain. The men's race was as good as you're going to see, and Brian Fay was delighted to win such a competitive one. He's been speaking to Greg Allen.
Coming down here, like, after 2 years ago in Gorn, it was so mucky. I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get the job done here. You're kind of looking at the ground and it's kind of not great. But there was a bit of running in the course, so it wasn't too bad. And then I was working hard onto the fourth lap. But then I know once I'm working hard, I can just keep coming. And the pace never kind of picked up with Griggs and Cormac. And then I was coming around and found him, Kelly O'Shannon, and he's like, just sit in and wait till the last 200 metres to go. I was going to take it on. I was like, you know what, he's right. So just sat in, but I kind of sensed that Nick Greig's had a bit in him and Cormac had a bit in him, so I was like, kind of do it and the sprint finish what I could, so I was happy with it. But yeah, delighted with that to come back. I'm down in Australia to come back and to get the win. I'm happy with.
You've had national championship victories, but there's something special about that. The roar when you cross the line.
Oh, I know.
But the quality of the field was so deep.
Yeah, it was. And to be honest with you, like, my last couple of races at the end of the season wasn't that good. And it's falling off and you're coming back. You're like, you know what? I want to make a statement. I want to move to the next level and do a job. And that's what I'm hoping to do now. And I think this is the first step of doing that this year. Like, you know, I'm trying to push on and be competitive. Hopefully I can go to Eurocross now and be competitive again.
Not everybody would have picked you out as the man who would go through the muck. You're the track running specialist.
I didn't pick myself as the guy going through the muck, but look, you know, you can surprise yourself. I was good at cross country when I was young, so look, it still works out, so I'm happy with that. Happy to get a win. It's something that I've never won, national cross. I've been second, I've been fourth, I've been fifth, so it's good to get the win, to get the first.
Just talk to me about the fact that you were rubbing shoulders with some of the best
distance
runners.
Yeah, it was great. Well, to be honest with you, I'm one of the best distance runners in this country as well, so hopefully we can all go to Eurocross and get the job done.
That's Greig, and you can hear how bad the weather is because his equipment is actually failing the longer that interview goes on. But I was actually chatting him on his way home from Derry last night, and he says that that's as good a cross country race as he's ever seen in the national championships, and he's covered 38 of them. So that's
a high endorsement.
The AIB Ulster Club Cedar Football semi final between Scotstown and Newbridge at Healy Park abandoned at half time because of the weather and unplayable pitch there yesterday, but it's now going to go ahead next Sunday in Armagh at 4 o'clock. Dangan Nicoosh and the Bards will meet in the Munster football final. Ballyhale and St Martins have qualified for the Leinster hurling final. That's Martin's first final appearance. And on Saturday, we're going to pay tribute now to a very special team. Some GAA history made as Amsterdam beat Longford Slashers to win the Leinster Junior Hurling Final. First European team to do so. Gray McDermott scored the winning point from a free with literally the last puck of the game.
And it's a free to Amsterdam. Graham McDermott from a very difficult angle over in the left wing, standing over it. He strikes. It's looking good. It's on its way. It's going over. It has. It's gone over the bar. And it's a point for Amsterdam. And we should hear the referee's whistle very, very shortly.
Come on, Amsterdam!
It's all over. And Amsterdam are the Leinster champions. They have beaten Longford Slashers. They have come from behind by 15 points to 14. Graham McDermott, you got the winning score here today.
Yeah, just relieved to get over the line, to be honest with you. And, you know, it wasn't just Amsterdam we're representing coming over here. We're representing all the teams that we play in nine-a-side tournaments throughout the year. Not a bad result for a team that only trains on a soccer pitch two times a week. Our 4-15s game of the year. Out of practice, but no, thankfully we got over the line.
Oh, that's something else.
Amsterdam are the Leinster champions.
I know. Not a phrase you hear every day now, is it? Yeah.
Well done.
That's great.
Fair play. Yeah. And Graham is actually from my neck of the woods. Well done to him for nailing that winner as well. Before I go, Arsenal, big win against Tottenham 4-1. Aston Villa came from behind to beat Leeds 2-1. And Evan Ferguson scored a goal for Roma in their 3-1 win against Cremonese. Troy Parrott also on target. 3-1 defeat at Heerenveen for AZ Alkmaar.
Loads of sport. Darren, thank you very much indeed. It's 8:41.